Desire this morning to read with the Lord's help from the second book of Chronicles, chapter number 20. Second Chronicles, chapter 20.
Brati naša, da se čita iz druge knjige dnevnika iz 20. glave. Druga dnevnika, 20. glava.
It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berachah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodava of Mereshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works." And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. I've read the entire chapter. Beloved, we have an account of King Jehoshaphat and the armies of Judah and God coming to be active and to influence and to help his people in their time of need. They go out to battle and they find that the battle truly is the Lord's. And one central theme that seems to come out of this chapter that, with the Lord's help, desire to meditate upon and turn our hearts towards with God's help, is that we would not go to our battle unprepared. That we would approach our battle of this life with worship. Worship to the Lord. What we see here is truly a miracle of God. And it is a unique way that God has worked with his people. We don't see this often, and yet we do. We remember how the children of Israel walked around Jericho. And they took the Ark of the Covenant, and the Levites blew the trumpets. We remember what God promised his people when they were to enter the land. When God gave them commandments and said, "Follow, and I will drive the people out from before you." The battle is not ours, but the Lord's. So may we, with faith and intention, worship the Lord. May we lift our hearts and our souls unto him in this hour of meditation, that we would, as Isaiah, see the Lord high and lifted up upon his throne, and that our hearts would desire to rise above this world and the things that we see, the things that we understand, and the things that we do not, and that we would be called and lovingly invited, as the Lord does. He invites us to come into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, to bless the name of the Lord, for his mercy endures forever, to be lovingly invited to dwell not on the things of the earth, but to set our affections on things above, to allow and to believe that the Lord can provide exactly what we are needing for our battle, for the struggle that we face. Jehoshaphat did these things for no other reason than the inspiration of the Spirit of God. We have reasons for the things that we do. But let us have the stillness and the quietness of this hour of prayer, this hour of worship where we stand before God, to allow His Spirit to work, and that He would have a fruitful field within our hearts, leading us to worship, leading us to think highly and to exalt His name. So often, I know for myself, and I'm sure many of us have experienced, we run into a problem. We run into a dilemma. Decisions need to be made. And we need to address it. And we ask ourselves, what should I do? How should I speak? How should I respond? There is a lot of focus on ourselves, oftentimes. And God calls us to lay down that burden and that heavy load and look to Him, to trust in Him, to believe and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt in sincerity and hope that He is at work and He can do something with this situation. We forget that oftentimes. That God can take a situation that we wish we could avoid and that we long to be free from and just get it away from me. And we push it away. But God can use those things. And He can take our cross and He can take that hardship and teach us something. Teach us to be more compassionate towards others in a way that we would have never learned if we simply came, read, it was explained with our intellect and understood and heard with our ears. God can work. He can provide. But do we think highly enough of Him? He is like the potter or a great artist. And He stands before the stone or the clay, and we see nothing great of great value. And there's nothing of beauty there. But in His hands, could it be made a priceless treasure? In the hands of a far inferior artist, perhaps not. But is there anything too hard for God? Is your situation, is your battle, is your hardship too unique, too difficult, too different, too unfamiliar, that the God of all creation, who's made us and supports our life and gives us the very breath that we will take in right now, that He will not handle it? Jehoshaphat came to this place of sensitivity to the Spirit of God. He came down a path of understanding. You see, when Jehoshaphat became king, the Bible tells us that he set his heart to seek the Lord. And that's the number one and first priority for us. That our hearts would be inclined and not going away from the things of God, but would be free to let him lead, to let him guide us, and to seek after him, to be interested in, and to peer into the truth of the Word of God that he reveals for us, and let it shine as a bright light into our hearts, each and every corner, that we would be completely open before him, that we would, like Jehoshaphat and many other great kings, would set our hearts to seek the Lord. After that, he helped the Levites and the priests, and he set them back up in the cities of Judah so that the people could hear the word of the Lord and be instructed, that they would day by day in their dealings with each other, that those things would be influenced by the teaching of God's word. And we can see in Jehoshaphat's prayer that putting a priority on God's word and having it have an impact in our daily life, and really seeking that the Lord's word would penetrate and touch and cut away the things in my heart that are not pleasing to him. Jehoshaphat also was greatly blessed. If you read his prayer that he offers to the Lord, this man, he has been immersed in Scripture. He knows what the Lord has done with his people. He stood before the court and acknowledged that God was the God of their fathers. Art not thou God in heaven, and rulest now not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? We know God and become more familiar with him and understand his ways by loving his word and reading about him, speaking about him, taking time to think about the songs that we sing about him and what that means to us, and allowing our hearts to be drawn from the burdens of this life to the freedom and the blessing that we inherit in Jesus Christ. That we can glorify him with the Spirit and with the understanding. Jehoshaphat knew the promises that God had given to Abraham and says, isn't this the land that you promised to Abraham and to his seed forever? You know, at the moment, it seems like that promise is being threatened. And it seems like hope could be lost. But the glimmering light of the Word of God and his precious promises that needs to speak brighter and speak louder to our hearts when we face our battle, when we face the dilemma, This is true for Abraham himself. He was promised a son and was blessed with Isaac, one who would carry on the promise and the hope of the inheritance of the land, the nation, and also the promise of the Messiah. And Abraham believed God, and he followed him. But then came a time of testing, just like the battle that you are facing, that I face, and the one that we face this week. It was a time of test to see, where is our faith? And the test was that Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. And the thoughts can go, and they can get us carried away and take us to places where hope is lost. But Abraham believed God before the test, and Abraham believed God through the test. And we read in Hebrews that Abraham believed that if God promised this son would be the one to carry on and inherit, that if he followed through, God was able to raise him up from the dead. He believed God's promise so firmly and strongly because that is what he kept in his vision. And we who are partakers of the new covenant, we see Jesus Christ and the precious communion that we have with him and the fellowship and the power to overcome, and the deliverance from sin, and the hope of eternal life, and this world. It's doing what it can on the fronts that it can influence to make us think hope is lost. But only in the promise of God can hope remain alive. And so as Abraham, who When he went with Isaac, actually that's the first time the word worship is used in the Bible. When he goes with Isaac and he takes the wood and he says, come, let us go to worship. There's an element of sacrifice in worship. There's an element of understanding that we will praise the Lord with the Spirit and with the understanding also. Understanding his promises so that we would not be overcome of evil, but trust God to do good and overcome with good. Jehoshaphat continues and gives the prayers of, I recall the prayer of Solomon when he prayed about the temple, and when the people would be sent out of the land and they would return and repent, that God would hear their prayers. But this is even before they're sent out of the land. That Jehoshaphat is clinging to the mercy of God and the precious promises of God and the faithfulness of God, that he hears the contrite heart. He hears the one that doesn't know what to do, but whose eyes are fixed upon him. And Satan would have us so busy and worked up about how we respond, how we react, how we position ourselves for success and to overcome and to outsmart someone else. Meanwhile, God could take care of all of it in a much simpler, in a much more beautiful, in a much easier, and in a much more blessed way, such that we give thanks to him, such that we come out of that situation knowing that there was no other way, but that God alone was with us. He was present with us. We heard his voice and we followed his leading, and he fulfilled his promises, and he's good. And we have a testimony to speak to those who doubt. about God's goodness and can call others. Look, the word of God is true. God fulfills his promises every time. But did you know how I worried about, you fill in the blank, how I struggled with, how desperately helpless I was in my, you fill in the blank. Is there any other way that a man could be changed? Is there any other way that peace could come into a heart but that God was there? And to whet the appetite of a world that doesn't know God with what it means to you and how God has impacted you and helped you and shown himself faithful to his promises. Lastly, Jehoshaphat speaks of what happened as the children of Israel were coming into Israel after the captivity in Egypt. And he knows exactly what happens, and he knows that this can't work out this way. And Satan often tempts us with things that he cannot deliver on. He cannot give you the peace that you long for. There's nothing that he has to offer that can give you the fellowship or the relationships that you hope for. It's all empty promises. And so, in the moment, Jehoshaphat confesses, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. Based on a good understanding, he knows enough to realize how much he needs God and how much, regardless of his planning and preparation, he looks to the Lord, how much he needs faith. And Jehoshaphat doesn't have the answer. The answer comes from someone else within the congregation, a son of Asaph, who was one of the singers that David set up to praise the Lord in the temple. And the Spirit of the Lord came to him, and he declared what they should do, and filled in where understanding and reason cannot go. Faith bridges the gap and connects us to God and brings to reality the things that God desires for us and says, tomorrow, go. The battle is not yours, but God's. I hope that as you ponder this experience and think about the challenge and the battle that you face, that your heart would be set at ease, that you would hear the word of God and know that his arms are strong to save. They are a good place to retreat to when we need to be supported and helped. The battle is not yours, but God's. And as a dad, it's a great compliment to hear that my children like to come, and that my arms are known as a place of refuge And God feels that too, as our Heavenly Father, that we would have that high view of Him in respect and in knowing that He's a safe place. And they were going to go. And I don't know what was going through everybody's mind, but the Lord saw it fit that Jehoshaphat would set up people that would go in front, that would begin the worship, that would lead the army so that no one would need to fear. No one would have that anxiety overcome them because they kept the vision of the Lord and His praise and His worship before their heart and eyes continually. And Jehoshaphat admonished them, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper." It is by faith, beloved, that we will find all that we are needing to overcome. Faith in our God, faith in Jesus Christ. And we read here of what Jehoshaphat told them to sing about, that they should praise the beauty of holiness and say, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." To me, I look for verses that speak and I can connect with Jesus Christ. No one is more holy and more pure and blessed than the Lamb of God who shed His blood for us. And though the world sees it as weakness and frailty that a Savior would come and bleed and die and be mocked, that those mockings and those beatings and those stripes that He bore, they are the lovely beauty of our forgiveness and our redemption. God is a beautiful and capable artisan. And He can open our eyes as we worship Him, as we hold Him in high regard, that we would see clearly Jesus Christ the Lord, high and lifted up. That we would see that His stripes are beauty to us. The beauty of holiness. The beauty of dedication. Because that is where faith and love will take us. Jesus said, "Follow me." And He went to the cross. And if we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. The beauty of holiness is in Jesus Christ, and He has shown His mercy, and it endures forever. Sin and Satan and his lies and deception will eventually destroy every single one who partakes of it, save for the grace of God to redeem us. And so, as this world threatens us, and as we are perhaps put down for our faith, or put down for the promises of God that we hold to so dearly, we do not need to attack or hurt them. They are destroying themselves. And so we speak about Jesus and the beauty of holiness, the beauty of redemption, the fullness of His promises, so that those who are on their way to a certain destruction would hear the word, the only word that can save their soul, the only victory for the battle with sin and death, that Jesus Christ has won for us, The battle is not yours and mine, but God's. Let us come in to the fellowship of the worship and praise of our Lord. Let us come in with united hearts to come under and grow up into Jesus Christ, his love and his truth. There is where we will find refuge. There is where we will find a priceless treasure to hold on to. And we will find all we are needing. We will find the blessing. And one day, we will continue in worship, praising the Lord and singing that new song, that worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive all the honor, the praise, glory, wisdom, riches, and blessing. For he has redeemed us unto God by his blood. Let our hearts be still and ponder the deep meaning of what he has done for us, that we would have confidence and trust in him and not go into our battle unprepared, but go into our battle, as we have read, with worship upon our lips, being led by the Spirit and the understanding of the Word of God. May God bless his Word. Amen.
The message was very clear this morning. It's been some time since I've read this chapter, and as we look at it, we just have to marvel at what the Lord has done. And this beautiful example that was so clearly laid out for us in this morning hour. Jehoshaphat had a battle that was insurmountable for him. Moab, Ammon, Mount Seir, they all came against him. The battle was way bigger than him. But he did that which was good, and that lesson was given to us this morning. The Bible says that as he feared, he set himself to seek the Lord. That's what Jehoshaphat did, and that's what we are to do. We are to set ourselves to seek the Lord, to look for him, earnestly to look for him. And he does what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to do, and that is to fast and to pray. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. That's how he set himself to seek the Lord. This is what he did in preparation for this battle that was far larger than him, is that he prayed and he fasted. That's lesson number one. And then he confesses and he says, there's this company that's come against us. We don't know what to do. It says, but our eyes are upon thee. We are to look to the Lord. Look to the Lord who is greater than all. That's lesson number two. And then to have that recognition that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. It's not our battle. It's not our battle. Let's lay it down. Let's give it to the Lord. And he will perform wondrously. And that we see in this chapter, as we see that how Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, how they fought against each other. And they all killed each other. And then what does Judah do? They go to a tower and they look over the field and they see all the dead bodies. And they wonder. And we look at that and we wonder at the workings of the Lord, how great his might is and his wisdom and his ability, his omnipotence. And we marvel. And Judah sat there and stood there on the tower looking out over the field, seeing their enemy defeated, and they lifted not a finger. Often we think we can put together a pretty good plan, a fail-proof plan. And then we execute on that plan just flawlessly. But it's for naught. It's for naught. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's battle. And great is his faithfulness. He will perform wonderfully. So we heard a beautiful message this morning, very clear. The battle is the Lord's. We are facing an enemy that's insurmountable to us. But greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Let's set our eyes on the Lord. Amen.